Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
And what's up? Welcome in. We are live. It is GC Live Friday edition of the show. I am Wes Mitchell. We are, of course, brought to you every single day by our good friend Clint Hammond of the Mortgage Network. And we're going to go straight out to a very special guest joining us today. Jam-packed show. A former Gamecock. I'm sure y'all recognize him if you're a Gamecock fan already in our chat here. What's up? If you have any questions for Matrick Belton, go ahead and throw them in there. We already got one question for you, man. But the news coming out today, or earlier this week, I should say, signed with the WWE Performance Center, getting ready, professional career. I see the grin has not left your face since you hopped on, man. I talked to you there briefly before we went on. What are the emotions like? What did it feel like? And how long have you known this was going to happen? I know the world found out sort of late this week, but did you just find out this week, or has this sort of been in the works for a while, man? How does it feel, and sort of take us through that?
Man, so I knew officially since December of 2000. Okay. I went to a tryout. It was early December 2020, and they called me back. I was like, we're going to go ahead and make this thing official. So I had to keep my mouth shut for about two and a half months.
So how did that feel to get that? To get that news? And I mean, everybody, I mean, if you're my age, man, I'm 34. Like, I remember watching, you know, WWF when I was, you know, in my teenage years. And then of course it becomes WWE. Anybody that's ever watched wrestling probably has dreamed of putting on that WWE shirt one day. So what was that like just to get that news for you, man, and it to become official?
Man, I'm not going to lie to you, Wes. It was an unreal feeling. A lot of people don't know, man, I put some time into wrestling, especially right after my football career, once I knew it was over. Mm-hmm. That was 2018. I finally got the opportunity to go to camp with the Eagles. Then after getting cut, man, and the truthful story is my agent at the time was trying to get me hooked up with the XFL and send me a questionnaire. And so I filled it out, and I saw WWE on the top. But, you know, I figured both leagues were owned by Vince McMahon, so I figured I'd fill it out anyways, didn't pay any mind. The next day, they brought me to a tryout. I mean, they emailed me back and said they want to bring me to a tryout. So that's when my mind really wrapped around it, like, okay, football is officially over for me, and I could try to capitalize on this opportunity. And so I went to the tryout. It was a no the first time, which was in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I dedicated a year and a half to training. Everything like that. Sure enough, they brought me back in. It's been a roller coaster ever since.
So were you a guy growing up? What was WWE or wrestling? Was that on the radar growing up? Or when did, if you look sort of back in, you know, your younger days, when did this ever become like sort of that, that either a dream or that would be cool? When did it sort of all come together in your head?
Oh man. So I got to take you back, way back. So I was 3 years old. And watching WWF at the time, and that's when I actually said my first cuss word, watching Stone Cold Steve Austin. I opened a can of whoopee on somebody. But, you know, like, back then, especially that era, it was just such an incredible era at the time for a young, impressionable mind like mine. So I loved WWF for a long time, you know. You know, growing up, I never really even knew how to get into pro wrestling. And I was so committed into football, I never took the time out to say, hey, you know, I should pursue it because I was still playing football. But after that door opened, it made so much sense. Like, hey, I really think this is something I would love to do and that I can be good at. So once I saw an opportunity, it was a no-brainer. I went straight forward.
So what has the transition been like going from – you know, football, a sport that obviously there's physicality, it takes athleticism, Lots of off-season training as well and in-season training, you know, frankly. So what has that been like sort of transitioning from one sport to the other? And how different is it on your body as far as just like the day-to-day maybe beating that you might take in these two sports, man?
Right. Well, first off, football, man, the background of, you know, all the – you know how it is, the conditioning and the workout, mm-hmm. the explosive movements. It's – so helpful in wrestling, you know. It just, people know when the football guy's in the wrestling ring, like, you know, you can expect a lot of explosive movements. So I would say on that end, it's very, very helpful. Football put me right where I need to be as far as athleticism in the wrestling world. I would say the biggest differences are, you know, we work here 50 weeks out of 52 a year. So as opposed to, you know, at South Carolina, you know, we have a, you know, summer, we're going hard in summer workouts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in-season lifts, we're going to take it easy and, you know, maintenance stuff. It would take, like, you know, a month off after the season, and then we start the whole cycle back over again. You know, here it's kind of like, hey, we need you be in great shape all year long. So we train a little bit different. We work mobility. We don't, you know, it's just a different type of training, but still very, very explosive movements. And football has just been very helpful in that transition, I would say.
It seems like that's, you know, a lot of guys that have made it to WWE maybe have a football background or have backgrounds in other sports. And it's something you can obviously build off of from a training standpoint, from just a performance mindset standpoint, I think. I was reading your bio they put out. You've been training, I believe, at the Combat Zone Wrestling Academy up in New Jersey. So take us through that a little bit, man. How is that sort of, you know, I imagine it starts off at the very beginning, you're sort of performing maybe with not very many people in the arena, and you're trying to work your way up. You're trying to build a brand. I've seen some of your stuff on Instagram, your videos, everybody can go check that out. But what was that sort of part of this process like, and just stepping in the ring for the first time and then trying to sort of work your way up into getting this opportunity?
Right, man, it's a completely different world, I would say, from football. Because, you know, football is, you know, I'm going to do my job really good. No off plays, no off moments. Like, when the ball snaps, I'm moving 100% full speed. Mm-hmm. Learning wrestling and the art of performing. And it is a sport, don't get me wrong. You have to, you know what you're doing, definitely. I would say learning how to be a physical specimen and learn how to tend to the crowd at the same time is a whole nother skill that I never even thought of, you know, having to even think about. So learning and adjusting to that transition from football was pretty tough. You know, it's not just about jumping high. It's about jumping high and waiting to do it at the right time so the crowd can anticipate it. And, you know, coming up with the character, everything like that. I'm lucky. So I moved up to Philly with my uncle James. And I'm thinking, like, man, coming up with the character and everything like that. And I didn't know exactly who it was, how I wanted to portray myself. So my uncle's talking to me. He's a real smooth guy. He's about 72 years old, real smooth. He tells me stories all the time. So he's like, yeah, you know, well, he used to call your uncle Sweet Baby James back in the day. Stuff like that. So I thought about it, like, man, Sweet Baby James, like, I kind of like it. You know, it has a story behind it, something I can relate to. You know, I can shift it and make it my own. So I kind of did. And that's when I came up with my name, Sweet Daddy Trick. That's my handle before I moved to WWE. You know, we don't know what it's going to be here. But so I just started performing as Sweet Daddy and, you know, get my whole get up, my gear and everything right, my movements and practicing, putting on the whole, you know, being that whole character and everything like that. So the transition is, you know, it takes a while to figure out who you want, how you want to present it. But it's an awesome thing, man. I really do love it.
And sorry, what was that last part, Matrick?
A long way to go with it, too. So I'm excited.
Yeah, so we're joined by Matrick Belton. He is actually already down in Orlando, WWE Performance Center. And obviously, I know, like you said, you know, your character, sort of some of your in-ring stuff, I'm sure will be evolving and shifting and stuff like that. But What has your style been? Let's sort of dive in for some people on here that might be legitimate wrestling fans, WWE guys. What's your style? Are you a high flyer? Are you doing a little bit of everything? Do you have a finisher? Give us a little bit of a sneak peek of sort of what you're all about in the ring, man.
Yeah. Well, in the ring, I like to embrace what, you know, I possess naturally, which is my jumping ability, my athletic movements. And I work with my best and try to hide what I'm not the most experienced at, you know. So if I'm in a match with an opponent who's great at wrestling, you know, he might get me with the wrestling. But, you know, I might get off a few strikes, a forearm, a punch or something like that. Throw him against ropes, hit him with a flying clothesline. You know, something that really shows off, you know, how powerful I am and do moves that really show off the best of my ability. I have a mean scissor kick. You know, my scissor kick could put a hole in your back. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a bunch of moves like that. I love to jump. I'm working on coming off the ropes and jumping off the turnbuckles a little bit. So got some things in the work.
Yeah, and I was looking at the pictures of the Performance Center, man, and I've seen some of the stuff on TV. I know back in the day they had WWE Tough Enough, and the entire just, you know, the NXT brand and sort of that chance to maybe come up and hone your skills in front of a crowd through that. It seems like, I know they've always, I'm sure, had a performance center, but it seems like the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, it's taken it to an entire another level. What is that like being in that building every day? Seeing, you know, just being able to pick the brain of people who have been very successful in this business, and just it looked like an absolute state-of-the-art facility. Can you give us a little insight on what it's like day-to-day being in that building?
Man, it's amazing. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, walking in that building is walking in a building full of probably the most diverse and entertaining group of people I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Personalities are huge from here, left field, all the way over here. And there's something you can learn from everybody, which is, to me, a lot different from football, where most football players kind of have a similar culture and a similar background. At the Performance Center, there's people who are great at a number of things, you know, with diverse backgrounds. And I meet legends all day, every day now, you know, WWF legends and everything. So, man, it's an awesome, awesome experience.
I was looking.
My bad.
Sorry, go ahead. No, you're good.
Facilities are amazing, too. You know, just as good as Gamecocks or any other program, I'm sure, out there. So
I was looking through your Instagram, and I saw your post about getting signed, and I just happened to see Rikishi commented on there. And, you know, me and my buddies, man, we were like seriously big wrestling marks back in the day. And I was like, man, if Rikishi's commenting on your stuff, that's got to be a pretty good sign. You said you're around some legends all the time now. Who are some guys – either currently that you've crossed paths with, or just back in the day watching, that are maybe inspired you or have helped you out along the way? Who are some guys we might know that you sort of look up to, man?
Oh, well, there's a bunch of them. Well, I did train with Rikishi a little bit at his training performance center. It's called Knox Pro. Mm-hmm. But now here at the Performance Center, it's legends all over the place. Triple H walked in on our first day, and he gave us the breakdown of how everything's going to work, which is an awesome opportunity. But we have coaches like Coach Matt Bloom. He was Albert when he was wrestling. Shawn Michaels is a coach at the Performance Center. The Road Dog, Jesse James. And that's just a short list. William Regal, that's just a short list of some of the great names that most people will probably know. But when I say it's legends everywhere, all with one common goal, which is to put on the best show possible. So it's unreal.
So are you like pinching yourself every day? Like, I mean, you literally are 10 feet away from Triple H. You got to be like, is this real? Like, is this happening?
You know, I still don't think it's hit me yet. I think I'm still on this high from everything that's happened so far. But every day I'm just making sure I'm in the building early as I can get there, working hard as I possibly can. And at the same time, knowing be patient, like my time's going to come, you know, but just put my best foot forward and show everybody what I have. and I'm sure that's going to be enough.
Definitely, man. And I know we got to let you get out of here shortly, but I got to ask you real quick. I know your hometown is you're a Columbia guy. You're from Keenan High. You got to play for the Gamecocks. For one, how much did that experience shape, you know, you as far as, you know, your future as both an athlete and a person? And what have you thought just following the Gamecocks now that Coach Beamer is in town and trying to put his own, you know, sort of spin on the program and taking over and everything? Give us some Gamecock thoughts while we got you, man.
Gamecock thoughts, man. I'm super excited about Coach Beamer. And I feel like he really does have, you know, he bleeds garnet. And that's exciting to see. I think a good change of pace is probably needed at this point in time. So I'm excited. You know, I watch nearly every game as much as I can. And I think he has a good group of guys there to build his legacy with and to add on to what we have going, you know, at South Carolina. But, yeah, I'm ready for Coach Beamer to see what he can do. You know, give him a few years, be patient with him. And, yeah, I'm ready. You know, I'm excited for him.
You were there end of Spurrier era, beginning of Muschamp era.
I think I was there right after Coach Beamer left.
Okay. I got you. Do you have a quick – I have to ask, is there a Spurrier story that, like – like, everybody has a Spurrier story. Do you have a Spurrier story?
Oh, definitely, man. Spurrier I'll tell you this. It was 2015 when we had a lot of injuries. We had a lot of things going on that season. And I was second string behind Farrell Cooper. And something happened. I can't remember. Maybe Debo got hurt or something. And, you know, somebody has to play, of course. So Spurrier walks up to me before practice. He says, Matrix. That's what he used to call me. He said, Matrix. I said, what's going on, coach? He said, you catch the ball pretty good. I was like, yeah. He said, throwing the ball. Let's see what he got. So he threw me three passes before practice. Like, simplest passes I've ever seen in my life. Right there to the hands, to the face. And I catch him like, he has good hands, doesn't he? We should give him a chance. And I started that week. It was literally that simple. I can get another one, too. When I first walked on to the team, it was spring ball. I couldn't make this up. This is how simple Coach Spurrier is. He said, all right, first meeting. I'm like, oh, man, it's the head ball coach. It's Coach Spurrier. I know he's about to drop some wisdom on us that I've never heard before in my life. This is going to be amazing. So he walks in the meeting room. He says, all right, guys, this is what we got. Offense. And he takes the board. He's writing on the board. We got offensive linemen. We got quarterbacks, running backs, and tight ends, wide receivers. He said, quarterbacks, it's your job to throw the ball. And he writes throw underneath quarterback. Running backs, you take your hand off and you run. He wrote run. Wide receivers, hopefully we can catch the ball. He wrote catch. And tight ends, you do a mixture of some other things. All right, let's go to practice. I was like, oh my goodness. And just like that, like he never overcomplicated anything. You know, he just put you in a good position to let you do what you do best. I love Coach Spurrier.
Yeah, had to be just an absolute unique experience, man. You're a young guy, man. You've lived some stuff though. You've been around legends in football, now some legends in wrestling, man. We did have a quick question for you. What's your intro music gonna be? I know obviously they'll probably do, you know, they'll make up something for you, but if you had to pick any song, we'll say it like that, what would you come out to?
Man, if I could pick any song, it has to be something that's smooth, easy on the ears, so I could walk out and I could stretch a little bit with my shoulders up high to show my abs so I could be all greased up and oiled up and everything. I just need something smooth, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Sweet Daddy, my old character, I don't know what it's going to be here. You know, yeah. I picture him to be later 70s, you know, player type vibe, ladies man, you know, probably rides in a 67 Camaro with the window,
okay.
You know, probably maybe a cigar in his mouth and some shades, always stays fly. So my music would have to match that, something fly that I could walk real smooth to.
Man, all right, so I can tell you're already in the mindset right now, and I know we got to let you go, but real quick, give us a little feel for it, man. I don't know if you want to cut a full promo, but just give us a feel for what everybody can expect. Hopefully we're going to see you. We're going to see you on TV one day. I'm going to go ahead and predict it. We're going to sort of just speak that out into the universe. What are we going to see from you on TV in the future. Match your belt, and I see he's got props, so you're ready for this, man. Hit it.
You put me on the spot, Wes. I got to come with it. You know, if you see Sweet Daddy, or if it's up to me, you'll see a character with the shades on, and he will come up to you and say, reporting to you live, the sexiest and most entertaining superstar alive, Sweet Daddy Trick has finally arrived. The one with 3% body fat and the one that can snatch your woman's heart. Just like that. And speaking of women, Sweet Daddy has two women himself. One named Mercedes and one named Lexus. Lexus the one that drives a Mercedes. Mercedes the one that drives a Lexus. And Sweet Daddy gets them confused from time to time. And I let it, that's all you need right there.
Let it roll. Oh, man. I love it. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Round of applause. Matrick, we'll let you get the workout in, man. Hey, don't forget us when you make it big. After you win the WWE Championship, I want you back on the show, okay, man?
You know it, man. I appreciate you, Wes.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Go get a workout, okay?
All right. Peace.
Keep that 3% body fat. That's Matrick Belton, former Gamecock. Great stuff from him, man. That was awesome. The promo on the fly. Thank you all for letting me indulge myself there for a second. I don't know how many people on the show watching, listening are, you know, big WWE fans. I don't watch it near like I used to. But when I was a kid, if you're my age, if you're 34, dude, you grew up with this stuff. So me and my buddies, I mean, every single week, what happened on Raw, you're talking about what happened on WWE Raw, middle of the WWE, WCW wars. So I really, honestly, we probably could have talked to Matrick for much longer, but he had to go get a workout in. And he had to, we had to sort of go with his time there, but we appreciate his time, man, because that was good stuff. And he's got some swag to him, man. He's got the it factor, I think. So we'll see. I think you combine the it factor, the athleticism, the guy's got a chance. So hopefully it'll work out for Matrick Belton, a Columbia native, a Gamecock grad, and someone that we'll be pulling for here on GC Live. All right, y'all bear with me for 1 second here. We're going to have Colin Taylor join us here on the show. I've actually got to send him the invite link, and he's going to talk a little bit of Gamecock baseball for us. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm not very good at multitasking, so y'all just have to hang tight with me here for a second. Chris Clark, by the way, taking the weekend off. He's already out of touch, hopefully not on his phone, and actually enjoying a little bit of time off of the weekend. So y'all got me. Obviously, we were joined by Matrick. We appreciate him. And we'll be joined shortly by Colin Taylor, who has a really, really tough act to follow. Maybe we'll ask Colin to maybe shoot a promo there himself. But good stuff from our buddy Matrick Belton. Matrick, man, I'm telling you, he's played for Steve Spurrier, played for Will Muschamp. He was actually coaching some high school ball in the area. So he's lived a very interesting life so far. And excited for him, man. I think he'll do a great job. Again, this show is brought to you by our good buddy, Clint Hammond. He is, of course, of the Columbia Area Mortgage Network. Give him a shout, 803-771-6933. ClintHammond.com is where you can find him. Colin, I'm going to go out to you right now. You're frozen. Let's see. Nod your head up and down, Colin, and let's see if you're unfrozen. All right, we'll bring him in. Colin, I don't know. You've probably been busy, man. I don't know if you watched the first part of the show, but you have a very tough act to follow, let me tell you, my friend.
I don't have any Steve Spurriers. They dropped Steve Spurriers.
Yeah. Or any WWE promos, I'm guessing. But you do have the best, I would say the best rivalry in baseball. I saw some people on Twitter. As we always see on Twitter, nobody can agree on anything. So you can say the sky is blue. Someone's going to argue with you. Some people are trying to argue it's not the best rivalry in baseball. I think it is 100% the best rivalry in baseball because this game matters. Obviously, wish we could have started this thing tonight or this afternoon on Friday. Not in the cards. Rain is in the cards for Clemson. But if we are lucky, this thing's going to start tomorrow, South Carolina, Clemson. Saturday, Sunday, and then down the road, May 11th, I believe, was the announced date. Colin, take off your reporter hat put on your baseball fan hat. How excited are you, or how excited do you get every year to be able to cover a baseball series that matters this much to these two fan bases?
Yeah. This is insane. It's so much fun. Just as a guy that grew up watching college baseball, as a guy that loves baseball, there's nothing like Carolina Clemson. I haven't covered a College World Series game yet, but I've covered Super Regional games in Columbia. I've covered Super Regional games in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And the energy that I experience at Founders or Doug Kingsmore or Greenville on a given weekend in late February is unlike any of that. The energy level is insane. And it's so much fun because a lot of these guys are from the same areas, in South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina, and have grown up playing with some of the same guys on each team. And that makes it more fun, especially the guys in state who know what this rivalry means to people. I mean, I grew up in South Carolina, and it's, you're either Carolina or Clemson. I mean, there's really no in between. You're born here. And that's something that's special to this place. There's not another state like it who loves baseball as much as South Carolina does, the state. And so, yeah, this is one of my favorite weekends of the year. The way they do the series is so much fun. And I can't wait to get this thing cranked up tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully the weather will be much better tomorrow. That's, of course, Saturday, game one in Greenville at Fluor Field, 4 p.m. first pitch. Sunday at Founders Park, 1:30 p.m. first pitch. And then again, as I said, May 11th, that was the game that would have been today. Move to Clemson, Doug Kingsmore Stadium, 6 p.m. Looks like you're looking at SEC Network Plus. Before everybody asks us what channel the game is on, you can find that on streaming. Just pull it up on your ESPN app in any streaming platform you have. So, Colin, let's rewind a little bit. Last week you came on the show. You told us a little bit about what your expectations were for this team. Let's overanalyze four games, which in baseball context, I won't say meaningless, but is a very small sample size. But I will say this, man, based on what you told us about this team moving in, your expectations for this team, would you agree that four games in, this team is sort of, they are what you thought they were, in that they are kind of following that script that on paper we thought they were capable of? Obviously some power bats, but more importantly, this is not a team that's just hitting a bunch of home runs, but then is striking out a bunch. And then obviously we talked about the pitching, we talked about the depth. To me, through, again, small sample size, but through that time, they very much have been sort of in line with the expectations that you sort of laid out last week.
Yeah, and four games is not enough time to start clearing out trophy cases and clearing out room to put – I mean, it's nothing in baseball, especially college baseball, where you play almost 60 of these things in a regular season. But what you're looking for in these first four games is – does this look like what I thought it was going to look like? And so far it has. South Carolina has been a lot better in terms of striking out. They haven't really done it. They're top 10, or I think top 20 nationally in on-base percentage, which is great. They're leading the country in home runs. They're leading the country in slugging percentage, top 10 in batting average. So it's not a team that's feast or famine, as Mark Kingston says. They're a team that or is going to be able to run into some balls and hit doubles and triples and especially home runs. But if you're going to pitch around them, they'll gladly walk. Take their first base, and put pressure on defenses. So it's the offense is a lot better than what the last full season of offense looks like in 2019. And I've been very impressed with it. Now they got to do it against high level competition on a consistent basis, but you've seen enough to feel at least okay with what you're seeing through these first four, especially in the offensive end and then pitching wise. I mean, Thomas Farr is the real deal. The bullpen's been absolutely phenomenal. And that's what you want to see through four games. Now, if they came out and sucked, then everyone would be freaking out. But so far, so good. There's a lot of good things to build on.
Yeah, well, I think the fact you've seen a little bit of everything, and that you go back to the series last weekend, sort of took care of business on Friday and Saturday, and then actually got yourself in a little bit of a, a close ball game on Sunday. I think that's actually healthy for a team, even you know, against a quote lesser opponent. We know how baseball is. You can find yourself in a 1-1 game or in a 2-1 game with the lesser opponent to have to sort of grind that one out. Got some big hits late in that game. I think that's very healthy, especially if you can still win the game. You know, so are the numbers going to come down when they face tougher competition? Of course, but I think the big takeaway so far would be the quality at bats, Colin. You know, it's not like you said, you are running into some balls, you're hitting some home runs, but you know, maybe shortening up with two strikes, finding a way to put the ball in play, like you said, not chasing, taking your walks. The numbers, they are what they are. They'll go up, they'll go down, you'll get hot, you'll get cold. But in my experience watching baseball over the years, the key is just to continue to grind out these quality at bats. And if you do that, you know, generally good things will happen when you have a team that has a talent, you know, a baseline of talent as well. Obviously there has to be talent, but if you combine those things, generally good things tend to happen.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest here. There's going to be a point in the season. South Carolina's not going 56-0. They will lose a game here or there. Wes Clark is going to come up to the plate with two guys on and two outs and strike out. It's how baseball goes. And then there'll probably be people that are cussing and fussing just because, you know, baseball happened. But, yeah, the plate approach has been phenomenal. They're going to have to do it, like I said, against Clemson, against Texas in these 10 SEC series. But you've seen the building blocks for it. I mean, I think they're hitting 366 with two outs. Two-strike hitting's been really good. See, Kyle Jackson said the same thing. I mean, two-strike hitting's been really, really great. And you look at that Sunday game against Dayton when they're tied 1-1, I think in the eighth inning, George Kalil, two-strike opposite field double to score the win. Number one, they get on with a walk, bunt the guy over, and George Kalil hits a one-out, two-strike opposite field double. And then David Mendham, after a couple more walks, hits an opposite field two-out double to bust the game open. I mean, 2 years ago, I don't think that happens. So that's progress, and you're seeing Stuart Lake's done a really good job with this team and from a hitting perspective. But you're seeing the signs of it. Like we've talked about, you're going to have to do it against good competition, better competition, more consistent competition. But you're, like I said, you're starting to see the building blocks and seeing some good things early that make you feel good about where this team's going to be and come late March, April, and then into May in the postseason.
Colin, you follow this team as closely as anybody, so I do want to dive into that a little bit further. Is that more a different approach at the plate from like, hey, we as a staff are saying we're going to come into this year with a different approach, or is it more a similar or same approach, but it's just being executed better and that you have guys who are able to sort of follow the plan? I guess everything's probably a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but in a broader standpoint, do you feel like it's changing approach or just more executing the approach in a more efficient way?
Yeah, I think they've just kind of retooled how they've taught it. I know coming in, the emphasis is, when that newfangled baseball, the lingo was launch angle and exit velocity and launch angle and launch angle and launch angle. That when you hear that consistently, you're talking, you know, players tend to think, at least I would, you know, get the ball up high, you know, send it as in terms of launch angle, get it up as high as you can. And that just line drives win baseball games. Line drives, whether that's a home run, a double, hard hit, line drives win games. And they've retooled the thinking to where they don't even mention the word launch angle at this point. They're talking about hitting line drives. They're talking about the power is going to come from that, but they don't really mention it. It's just kind of, they're still teaching the same thing. They're still teaching good two strike approach. They're still teaching good two out hitting. And, you know, if you get a hold of one up in the count with one out and a runner on, try to unload on one and hit it 500 feet because they want power to be part of the offense. But what's really been retooled is the approach, how they're trying to get on base. And the goal is, you know, I believe entering the 2020 year, they wanted to be top five in the SEC in slugging percentage and on base percentage. They didn't mention batting average. That'll come, but they wanted to be able to get guys on base, and they wanted to be able to hit home runs and hit extra base hits. And you're seeing that emphasis in terms of, I think they have a 441 on base percentage. They have a 775 slugging percentage. That is what you're seeing. And they've just retooled how they've taught it, and players are really buying into it. And give Stuart Lake a lot of credit for that.
Colin, let's dive into this weekend, what is now a two-game series for now. They'll finish it later on in the year. So this Clemson team starts out with a three-game sweep of Cincinnati. Last weekend, they get a walk-off in extra innings on Sunday, win 8-7. What can you tell us? What do you know about this Clemson team? We've seen South Carolina now for four games. I imagine a lot of people on listening or watching have not really watched much of Clemson. So give us a little bit of insight. What is this team all about as far as some strengths or weaknesses, as far as how they're probably going to match up with South Carolina this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much a pitching-heavy team. They're led by Davis Sharp, who's one of the best two-way players in the country. Very good Friday night arm for them that I'm expecting we'll see on Saturday now that the series has gotten bumped back. But really, really good from a fastball standpoint, can command, has a cutter that he loves to throw. Matt Clark has given them problems in the past as a lefty. You have, you know, Jeffrey Gilbert and Ty Olenchuk, who are younger, that are really good as well, that can ratchet it up in the low 90s and compete. Caden Grice is another really good freshman pitcher for them. So they have pitching, and they have pieces offensively that can get the job done. But it's much more of a pitching-heavy offense, or a pitching-heavy team, I should say, than maybe – it's not as offensive-minded as maybe some previous Clemson teams, but it's a very good pitching staff with a lot of guys that are going to get innings. Davis Sharp, obviously, being one of them. Matt Clark and Ty Olenchuk are the big names. But the offense has got Dylan Brewer, who's a good outfielder from the left side. And it's a team that if South Carolina is going to take two or three or sweep, they're going to need to be able to hit that pitching around.
You mentioned the starting rotation. Would you assume that both teams are just going to slide Friday to Saturday and Saturday to Sunday? Initially, obviously, Thomas Farr was going to go tonight, Brandon Jordan for South Carolina tomorrow. Do you assume both teams just slide everybody back, or do you think it's premature to assume that?
That would be my assumption right now. Nothing official yet from South Carolina, and I haven't checked with Clemson on it, but nothing official from South Carolina, but I would assume Thomas Farr is your starter for tomorrow. You want your best arm out there. But yeah, we haven't heard anything official yet from them yet.
So let's talk about this series, but from a South Carolina perspective. We built up South Carolina. We talked about all the good through four games. What are your keys for the Gamecocks this weekend? And maybe sort of bring it back down to earth. What are some maybe small things you saw that you're like, okay, That might be something to keep an eye on. They have to continue to get better on and improve on, specifically within the context of this weekend.
Yeah, they have to clean up some errors. They had some stretches of time against Dayton where they were trying to do a little bit too much. Colin Burgess tried to throw behind a runner, and it turned into a guy going from first to third on an error. George Khalil booted a ball. They had some trouble with errors against Winthrop, played a little sloppy. So you need to clean up the defense. That's something I'm going to be looking for, especially not in a hostile environment in Greenville, but you're going to have more away fans than normal compared to being at Fountain Park. So that's something I'm going to look for. And if they can not leave runners on base, I think they've left a handful of guys on base over the course of the first four games, and it'll just be up to them to drive those guys in. They're hitting pretty well above 300 with runners in scoring position, but just need to do it more consistently. So if those two things are kind of the – worry is not the right word, but those two things are something that I'm going to be paying attention to. And if they can clean up the defense, you feel pretty good about where things are heading into these now two games instead of three games this weekend.
Yeah, obviously a big weekend for South Carolina, and just a big opportunity, I think, for this team, Colin, if you sort of start to look at the big picture of this season. I think, like we talked about, even though it's just four games so far, I think just winning those games, when you start to look at this this schedule and all the good teams South Carolina is going to play this year. Anytime you have an opportunity to win a game, and this sounds like a duh statement, but to lose, if let's say they just dropped that Sunday game last week, you say, oh, that's baseball. Sometimes you drop a game. Sometimes you get in a close game and you lose, especially early in the season. It wouldn't mean the end of the – it wouldn't have meant the end of the world. But when you start just looking through the schedule, all the potential games that are going to be tight, that you're playing very talented teams, that you're facing – let's be honest, in this league, you're going to be facing future major league starters in some cases. So to win the games you have an opportunity to win, absolutely huge. All these things are big for, I think, Kingston and this group after the way last year started. And let's be honest, man, this is – Colin, this is a fan base. We've seen it. They have been beat down as far as the results in men's sports over the last couple of years. We know what happened in football. We know what's going on in basketball. I feel like this fan base turns to baseball for some light – you know, at the end of the tunnel sometimes. So you don't want to put too much pressure on one series, but I will say this. If Mark Kingston and these guys can go ahead and win the series and win two this weekend, absolutely massive for the program, for the confidence of the kids, and for this fan base, I think.
Yeah, South Carolina needs something good to happen on the men's side this year. I mean, no doubt about it. They just need, and at baseball, the guys on the team, the staff there, they're not thinking in that regard, but we have right. The benefit of foresight. We have the benefit of being able to analyze this stuff. They need a win. South Carolina needs a men's sports. And this is the first time a major sport in South Carolina is playing Clemson this year. Football didn't get to play them. Men's basketball got canceled, postponed, and the women didn't get to play this year in basketball. So this is the first time. There's a lot at stake here for both programs. And I think people want something to latch onto. People want something good to latch onto. You know, I like reading positive threads on message boards compared to negative threads on message boards. So, that's South Carolina needs something good to happen. You know, I think South Carolina has the talent and the depth and the maturity to have something good happen. But until you get between those two lines and start playing, you never know.
No doubt. And Colin will have complete coverage on GamecockCentral.com. Again, you can watch the games, SEC Network Plus. And really, if they win these two, sets up an opportunity before you get into this just absolutely daunting schedule. South Carolina has Winthrop midweek this week and then Mercer for three games next weekend. Then they travel to the Citadel. And then, folks, you got Texas. You got a Vanderbilt series. You got a Florida series. Then you travel to Georgia, which it seems like it's not been a kind trip to South Carolina. So get the wins and get the momentum while you can, and then build off of that moving forward going into SEC play. So we'll have plenty of time to talk about SEC play in the future. Colin, we appreciate the time as always, man. Other than your Cubs jacket, you did great, and we appreciate the time, man.
Appreciate it as always, man. Take it easy.
Yep. All right, it's Colin Taylor. Check him out, GamecockCentral.com. I believe our connection was freezing up a little bit there at the end, so hopefully y'all are able to hear him and see him for the most part. Ricky on Facebook wants to know if the game will be played today. It will not be played today. The series will start tomorrow instead. Let me see if I can pull that up for you folks again. Again, it's on SEC Network Plus, so you're going to have to pull that up on your streaming device. They will play in Greenville, 4 o'clock on Saturday, and here at Founders Park on Sunday, 1:30 p.m. That's also on SEC Network Plus. Appreciate Colin for joining us. Appreciate Matrick Belton for joining us. I think that's going to about do it for today's show, unless anybody has any final questions. Appreciate everybody here in our chat, y'all hanging out with us and listening and watching. As always, you can catch the show. We've sort of settled into Monday, Wednesday, Friday during the off season. Once we get back to football season, we'll go back to an every single day format. But most of the time, Me and Chris will be on Monday, Wednesday, Friday during the offseason. As always, the show is brought to you by our good buddy, Clint Hammond. Seriously, this is not just an ad for me. Clint's a good friend. If you have been thinking about refinancing, give Clint a shout. I promise you he can help you out. 803-771-6933. Save yourself some money, and Clint will walk you through the entire process. It'll be absolutely painless, and everybody likes to save some money. Again, appreciate Matrick. Appreciate Colin. If you're a new listener or watcher, you can always see the show youtube.com/GamecockCentral, on our Facebook page, on our Twitter at Gamecock Central, or you can actually download the audio or stream the audio at any podcast platform that's out there, that's on Apple, Google, Spreaker, all those different things. Please leave us a review. Please hit the like button. And please, everybody, have a great weekend. Thanks for bearing with me here, sort of a solo show. But I enjoyed it, as always. Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll see if the Gamecocks can beat Clemson, and then I will see you all on Monday. Y'all have a good one.
Being a parent can be really challenging. Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.